we finished with this operator V, with a Katz-Takasaki operator, which implements coproduct. And now our goal is to introduce a Katz-Takasaki operator for this quantum object. So we will find a unitary operator which will implement our coproduct for this quantum object. So this is the plan. I think I should skip some details because just give you a formula for this operator. So it is denoted by W. So this is the slide about slide concerning a construction of a multiplicative unitary for our quantum group. So V was a multiplicative unitary for Lorentz group, and V was a multiplicative unitary for Lorentz group, and W will be a multiplicative unitary for quantum Lorentz group. And how you construct it? You twist your classical Katz-Takasaki operator. You twist it by two unitary operators, Y and X. So W is an operator acting on L square of G times L square of G. And how you twist it? How you construct X and Y? Well, you use those infinitesimal generators of right and left shifts. Okay? So the formula will be just given by those in terms of these two operators. And what is a formula? Here you have it. X is, well, you take X is an operator which acts on L square of G times L square of G. You take tensor product of TR with TR star, take imaginary part, and exponentiate this anti-self adjoint operator. So X is a unitary operator. And similarly, Y, you define Y in a little bit different way. You take TR multiplied by TL star and take exponentiate of the result. And you can prove that, I did not define these notions, but you can prove that W is a good unitary operator. So using this W, you can introduce coproduct. So how we define, so we have W, which I just described, which is operator acting on L square of G times L square of G. And the theorem is that there exists coproduct which is implemented by W. Sorry?
What was W?
W is at this slide. Uh-huh. It is not this. It is here. This is the product of three operators. Y, V was this operator which appeared at the previous lecture. You have the definition of V here. V is a unitary operator of this form. And W is a unitary operator of that form. And you can prove that W gives you a morphism from A to A tensor A. And this morphism is co-associative. So W is your coproduct for your quantum group. So now we have a sister algebra and a coproduct. But on our list of wishes, we wanted that the sister algebra was generated by four elements. Now I would like to go to the definition of these four elements. Well, I just skipped some details, so I don't want to explain that. But there is whole theory of multiplicative unitaries, so whole theory of such operators which can implement coproduct. And operators which implements coproduct are called manageable multiplicative unitaries. So there is lots of conditions that they should satisfy to implement coproduct for some sister algebra. But I think that it will be too technical and decided to skip it. Now, what about those generators? How to define them? So first of all, The easiest generator was gamma. Gamma hat. Gamma hat was central element of a sister algebra. And we define it in the following manner. You just can check that if you apply rho hat s to gamma. So the definition was that you take R with bars and with some decoration as four, doesn't matter very much, but you and the inverse of these two on the left of the right hand side. But well, you can just check that this action leaves gamma invariant. So gamma is invariant under this action. Hence, it is somehow related to this sister algebra of invariants. But how it is related, I will try to explain now. So we define operator gamma hat as just an operator of multiplication by coordinates gamma. It is invariant for the twisted action, and it is one of the conditions for being in a sister algebra. But this operator is unbounded, so it is for sure it is not an element of a sister algebra. It is something different. And what is the relation between gamma and the sister algebra AS? Well, you can explain it in the following way. You can take such a function of gamma hat. Gamma is a normal operator. You can take quite easily such a function. It is a bounded operator acting on L square of G. We just multiply by this function. A function of L square of G by that function, and you can check that such a function is an element of multipliers sister algebra of AS. So there is some relation between gamma hat and algebra AS. Moreover, when you multiply your algebra AS by such a function, this is inverse of 1 plus gamma star gamma, then when you multiply all elements of AS by such a function, then you obtain dense subset of AS. So when you close it, well, there should be not just close linear span, but just closure. If you close this set, then you obtain all this element of a sister algebra AS. So gamma hat can be interpreted as an unbounded multipliers of AS. In what way? If a map is unbounded, then you have to define its domain. Its domain is defined in this way. This is a dense subset of AS, because this is a dense subset of AS. So you define gamma hat as an unbounded multiplier of AS by giving its definition, and the action on the by the giving its domain, and the action of gamma on the domain is defined here. You take elements of the domain of the gamma. And by definition, gamma acting on this element is given by this form. So the right hand side is also still defined, because this is an element of multiplier sister algebra, and you can multiply multipliers by element of AS, and the result is in AS. So gamma hat is an unbounded multiplier. So what is a precise definition of unbounded multipliers? If you have any sister algebra acting on a Hilbert space H, then we define the set of unbounded multipliers in the following way. You consider all unbounded operators acting on H. So D of H is the set of unbounded operators acting on H. Then you have two conditions for T to belong to A eta. First of all, this function of T should belong to multipliers sister algebra of A, and this set should be dense. So then if you have those two conditions, then you can define T as unbounded multiplier acting on a sister algebra A, as unbounded operator acting on A. Its domain will be this set, so this is dense set of A, and the action will be on such an element will be given by multiplication by this multiplier. This is, yes?
May I ask?
Yes, you will see an example that this is quite reasonable. For instance, If you start with C infinity of X, with a sister algebra acting on the square of G, and you go through this definition that I just gave, then you find that the set of unbounded multipliers just coincide with the set of all continuous functions here we have so if you can imagine that this acts on some Hilbert space, and if you check what is a set of unbounded multipliers for this sister algebra, this is just the set of continuous functions on X, on a locally compact space X. So the set of unbounded multipliers somehow replace the algebra of functions. If you have C infinity of X, then multipliers sister algebra coincide with algebra of bounded function on this space, and unbounded multipliers are the set of all continuous functions. So it replaces the set of, well, when A is non-commutative, then the set of unbounded multipliers replaces the set of all functions on the quantum space. And we need it because those coordinates that we are trying to construct will not be bounded functions, because alpha is not bounded in classical case, so it should not be bounded on the quantum level. And the second example is that the set of unbounded multipliers of compact of sister algebra of compact operators is just given by the set of all unbounded operators acting on H. So we have a warning here. In this case, the set of unbounded multipliers was a star algebra, not a sister algebra, but star algebra. You could compose functions, add them, you can take conjugate of the functions. But here, this set does not possess any structure. You can just only, you can take Hermitian conjugation of operators. You cannot add two unbounded operators in a generic situation, because the domain does not have to coincide. They just can, okay. So now I just wanted to define the object that we are interested in. So we want to define gamma hat, alpha hat, delta hat, and beta hat. Gamma hat was already defined. Now, how to define alpha hat? You define it in the following way. You can check that, the alpha hat should be given by this formula. I already gave this. For instance, when you apply rho hat S to this, to such a combination of alpha, gamma, and TL, then this alpha hat is invariant for the twisted action, rho hat S. But you have to be more precise. You have to precise it. You have to define it as unbounded multipliers, and you define it introducing a family of unitary operators and differentiate it at z equal to zero. So this gives you a definition of alpha hat, and similarly, you can check that alpha hat satisfies the commutation relation that we expected. And similarly, you introduce delta hat. Once again, you can define family of unitary operators. How it is defined? You take this operator is exponentiation of a function z times d, imaginary part of z times d, and this is exponentiation of the infinitesimal generator TR. So you can check that this element for sure is an element of multipliers of B, because multipliers were generated by TR and alpha, beta, gamma, delta. So this is an element of multipliers. But you can also check that this is an element of multipliers sister algebra of quantum Heisenberg-Lorentz group. And when you differentiate this family of operators at zero, then this defines you, this is the precise definition of delta hat. You can show that this definition leads you to unbounded multipliers of your sister algebra. This is, to check it is not so easy, but this is just a definition. But formally, you can see that this operator is given by the following combination of delta and TR. And once again, if you apply rho hat S to such a combination, then you see that, then you find that this operator is invariant for the twisted action. So still, the idea of invariance appears all the time. If you want to define some object, you have to find something which is invariant and then work a little bit to try to find the precise definition. And this is the precise definition of the of your unbounded multiplier. And this is just formal expression for it. And well, so we have already three operators defined, gamma hat, alpha hat, and delta hat. Now, beta hat, well, is defined in a sense as it should be, because we have determinant relation between alpha, beta, gamma, delta. So alpha, delta minus beta, gamma should be equal to one. So we define so the idea of defining beta hat looks very simple. You just divide alpha, delta minus one by gamma. But this is, it looks simple, but it's not so easy because, as I said, the set of unbounded multipliers is not an algebra, so you cannot compose in principle those unbounded multipliers. But formally you get such an operator, such a differential operator, beta plus TR plus TL plus composition of TL and TR. But well, you have to work to give a precise definition, to give the domain of this operator, and to show how it acts on a sister algebra of quantum Heisenberg's group. So, well, I just wanted to omit this technicalities. But how much time do I have?
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
So in this case, it's like the other case. Is the first formula just kind of intuitive and not really formal?
Yes, it is intuitive formula, and then this operator when I try to it should look like this, but because you need this determinant relation to be satisfied, but so it gives you this formal expression for that operator, but to define it as unbounded multiplier, so to check that it somehow satisfies those conditions that I gave to you, then it was quite a hard job to do.
Did you use the lower definition did you use another definition than the
Yes. The idea was that for instance this element is not everywhere well defined.
Yeah.
So you have to do quantum chirurgy in a sense. You have to remove the leaf for which gamma is zero from your quantum space. We had this picture of spectrum of the quantum spaces, and at gamma equal to zero, the situation were somehow different. I don't know if you remember. At the end of yesterday's lecture, there were some pictures. So you have to remove this leaf, which is different. Then it is possible to define beta. When you remove this leaf, it is possible to define beta in this way. But then you have to somehow glue the leaf gamma equal to zero. So, and at leaf gamma equal to zero, beta behaves like a creation operator. So you can define these unbounded multipliers at gamma equal to zero in the same manner as you defined alpha hat and delta hat. This is just creation operator, so you can repeat the construction. And then you can glue together those two constructions and see that they are compatible. So, but this was the most difficult part of this problem. So now we are at the stage that we have four elements defined. We have sister algebra. We have four elements. We have four unbounded multipliers: alpha hat, beta hat, gamma hat, and delta hat. That on our list of wishes, we wrote that AS is generated by these four elements. So I would like to explain what does it mean that the sister algebra is generated by the set of unbounded multipliers. We start with example. We just take SL2C. And now, first of all, those matrix coefficients, those four functions are element of C, or are unbounded multipliers of C infinity of G. Why? Because I said that unbounded multipliers of C infinity of G coincide with an algebra of continuous functions. So you treat these four elements as continuous function on G. And then you just check that algebra of continuous function vanishing at infinity on a Lorentz group is spent by such elements. You take four functions of complex numbers that vanish at infinity. You apply this function, you replace C by alpha, C1 by alpha, C2 by beta. Well, this is the function on G, which vanishes at infinity. And when you take closed linear span, then you can see that this set gives you all functions. All functions on a Lorentz group can be uniformly approximated by such elements, by combination of such elements. So in a sense, well, in a sense, alpha, beta, gamma, delta really generate sister algebra of function on G. But we use additional, to express this this property, we use the fact that alpha is normal, beta is normal element. Alpha and alpha star commute, so we can really apply functions to the normal elements. But in general, in our situation, the elements are not normal. Alpha hat does not commute with alpha hat star. Delta hat does not commute with delta hat star. Beta, neither beta. So we cannot just, prove anything like this, because we cannot take function of not normal operators. You can only take a function of normal operators. So we need a different notion of what does it mean that the sister algebra is generated by the set of elements, by our quadruple of operators. And now the definition is due to, lots of things at this talk is due to Voronovich, but the definition, which is, not intuitive, and I will explain it in a moment, but Voronovich found the following notion, that if you have a sister algebra and n unbounded multipliers of this sister algebra, then these unbounded multipliers generate this sister algebra if for any Hilbert space, any sister algebra B acting on this Hilbert space and any representation, we have the following condition satisfied, so, which is not very clear what it can mean, but so here is the condition, but I just give in a moment the theorem, which will be easier to understand. That the condition is that if you apply this representation, so we have the data A, sister algebra, unbounded multipliers, representation, and a representation of this sister algebra on a Hilbert space H, and B, which is a subalgebra, which is a sister algebra which acts on H. So if you check that this condition is satisfied, that you can apply morphism to the unbounded multipliers, and the result is unbounded multipliers of B, then P should be a morphism of A of B. So this is, this is not clear what it means. So it is difficult to check, and so we need a different theorem which says you when an algebra is generated by the set of unbounded multipliers. So the conditions are as follows. So A is generated by T1 and Tn, if and only if, first of all, those elements separate representations of A. So if you have two representations of your sister algebra on a Hilbert space, then there should be one element for which P1 is on T, I'm sorry, there is a mistake. P1 of Ti should not be equal to P2 of Ti. So those two elements should be different. So unbounded multipliers should separate representations. Moreover, you should be able, maybe you should not read this part, I will just explain it. You should be able to find a function of generators somehow, to build some element from the given set of unbounded multipliers. You should be able to find a function of this generator that vanishes at infinity on a spectrum of your non-commutative sister algebra. Well, the most important thing is that they should separate representations of a sister algebra. And now, maybe it's worth it to look at example once again, at example of.
The spectrum. What if it?
Well, it means that. Good question. It means that you should. Well, you have unbounded multipliers, and you should be able to construct a function of this unbounded multiplier, so made some construction, and which will give you an element of algebra. because it's easy to construct from them an element of multipliers of this algebra. But, well, you should be able also to construct an element of algebra, not only multipliers. So it should act, but algebra corresponds to function vanishing at infinity. So this, well, this was the trans, this was related to well, I did not explain. You understand or?
No. But isn't there a theorem saying that the spectrum is bounded?
No, spectrum of sister algebra is just a philosophy, but well, algebra. Well, so well, maybe look at let's look at example. It will explain everything. So let's look once again at example of sin infinity of G. So I told you that sin infinity of G is spanned by such functions. So which factorizes in a sense onto four functions of alpha, beta, gamma, and delta. So if you have if pi so. Now the question, is it true that alpha, beta, gamma, delta are generators of C infinity of G in the sense that I gave in, at the previous slide? So we have to check two things. First of all, alpha, beta, gamma, and delta should separate representations. And they separate representation because if pi is a representation, then when you apply representation to such an element, then you can pass with representation under the function, so you have p of alpha, p of beta, p of gamma, p of delta. This is the set of normal operators acting on a Hilbert space. Then you apply functional calculus to them. You get and you get such an element. So if two representations are equal on these generators, then they equal on the generator alpha, beta, gamma, delta. If two representations, so you have the same operator here and there, then they have to coincide on a dense subset of the sister algebra. So they have to coincide on all sister algebra. So these four elements separate representations of C infinity of G. And the second condition that you ask is satisfied because you can produce quite easily a function which vanishes at infinity from alpha, beta, gamma, and delta. You just take this product, for instance, of four functions. And this function is a function on the Lorentz group which vanishes at infinity. So this was the second condition. And the next example concerns algebra of compact operators acting on L square of R. So I would like to, it can be proven that momentum and position operator acting on, where there are unbounded operators acting on L square of R, but there are unbounded multipliers of a compact operators. In one of the examples, I told you that the set of unbounded multipliers of compact operators coincide with the set of all unbounded operators. So in particular, momentum and position and momentum operator are unbounded multipliers of compact operators. And by Stone von Neumann theorem, this pair of operators separate representation of compact operators. And it is not difficult to check that such a product of operators, so similar, quite similar to this one. So such a product of operators, there is a mistake, I'm sorry. But such a product, there is no mistake. Such a product of operators is compact. So this is the next condition that it somehow vanishes at infinity on the spectrum. It is not only a bounded operator, this is not only in the multipliers algebra of K, because bounded operators is an coincide of with multiplier sister algebra of compact operators, but this is not only bounded; it is compact. So it belongs to this algebra. So it is in a sense vanish at infinity on a spectrum of compact operators. So it's better not to look at this definition, but that I gave at the previous slide. But it's better to look at the examples. You have to check such sort of conditions to prove that the set of unbounded multipliers generate sister algebra. They should separate representations, and some functions of them should belong to the algebra that you consider, to C infinity of G, to K, or to general algebra A. And now at the I still have some time, so I would like to prove. I would like to prove that at least alpha hat, beta hat, gamma hat, and delta hat separate representations of separate representations of our sister algebra. And to prove that, okay, to prove that, I will have to say one more thing. We need one more feature of multiplicative unitary of our group, of our quantum group. So W was of the form Y, V, X. It was multiplicative unitary, where V was Kastakesaki operator, G prime equal to F. G. Unitary for AS, for our quantum group. In particular, it implemented the coproduct. Moreover, we had here that if you apply trace rho times identity to W, then it gives you in classical case it gave you a function on a group. In quantum case this is also satisfied. Such when you trace the first leg of W is an operator acting on L square of G times L square of G. And when you trace the first leg of W, then you get element of AS. You can prove that. So where rho is a trace class operator. And it turns out that when you trace with all possible rho, so with all rho trace class, then, and you close it, then it gives you, it can be proven that it gives you all sister algebra. So this is a different description of our quantum space, of Heisenberg-Lorentz group. Except that W not only implements delta, but you can also read out your sister algebra from W, just tracing the first leg of W. So when you have two representations, now imagine that you have two representations, P1 and P2. If you have two representations, then you can, P1, P2 are representations of AS on some Hilbert space. Then, if you trace this leg of W, then you obtain element of your sister algebra A. So in a sense, the second leg of W belongs to the sister algebra AS. So in particular, you can apply identity times π1 to W, and you can apply identity times π2 to W. And if it may happen that it coincides. If this operator is equal to that one, then by this condition, you see that π1 on trace rho times identity on W is equal to π2 trace rho times identity on W. But this set is a dense set of AS, because AS is obtained by closure of this set, just exactly, but by closure of the elements of this form. So if pi 1 and pi 2 are equal on a dense set, then by continuity they has to be equal on all sister algebra. So the idea of proving that alpha hat, that our generators, unbounded multipliers generate sister algebra, is to show that W is in a sense a function of those generators. Because if it is a function of those generators and pi pi 1 and pi 2 act in the same way on alpha hat and delta hat, they would have to act in the same way on W. And by this reasoning, they will have to be equal. So now the strategy of proving that unbounded multipliers separate representations is the following one. You have to find the expression of W for W by generators alpha, beta, gamma, and delta. And what is that expression? First of all, we have to come back for a while to the classical case. We find this expression for gamma non equal to zero, for gamma hat non equal to zero. For if G is an element of SL2C with gamma non-zero, then you can factorize this onto the product of three elements of this form. You can just check that if you multiply those three elements, you obtain G. Just if gamma is non is invertible, if gamma is non-zero. And this observation enables you to express Kasta-Kesaki operator by the product of three operators. So you can introduce three operators, V1, V2, V3, which acts on L square of G times L square of G in the following way. Its action of F is given by the following formula. For instance, you take G1 factor of this factorization. You take this factor from this factorization, and you multiply G by G1 prime. V1 is defined in the following way. V1 on F is F calculated in a point G1 prime, G prime. So this is also unitary operator. And you can show that, well, from the factorization fact, factorization of elements, it follows that if you multiply V1 by V2 by and V3.
So what is G1
was the first factor in this factorization. This is this factor. This is this element. If you have element of SL2C, then G1 is this element. If you have element of SL2C for which gamma is non-zero, then you can define such an element of SL2C. And V1 is multiplication by this element of the first variable. Sorry? Well, for gamma non-zero, beta can be expressed by alpha, beta, and gamma. Alpha, delta, and gamma. So this observation that I explained leads to the following form of, well, maybe it will not be very well understood now, but this observation leads to the following form of Kasta-Kesaki operator. Well, V1 is a shift with respect to such element. And this is element of our starting group gamma, of our abelian group gamma. So V1 is a shifting with respect to this element. And TR was from the right, and TR was infinitesimal generator of this shift. So you can check that V1 is given by the following form. It is exponent of such an operator, such an unbounded operator. Similarly, V3, this is exponent of such an operator, and V2 it only depends on gamma, because in the formula for V2, we multiply by G2, which depends only on gamma. So V2 depends only on gamma. And we have the following formula for our operator V on a classical level for this operator V, which I wrote here. We have the following formula. We have explicit formula for V. And now it turns out that if you twist Kasta-Kesaki operator, you twist your important object in the theory, and you get multiplicative unitary for a quantum group, you get a multiplicative unitary W, which is a twist of V by X and Y, then you can check that there is also the similar formula for that. So you can check that V can be expressed by alpha, gamma, and delta in the similar way W can be expressed by alpha, gamma, and delta in the way that V was expressed by alpha, gamma, and delta. So we realize this idea that we can, if we would be able that to prove that we were able to prove that W for gamma non-zero is a function of alpha, gamma, and delta. You can also prove that for gamma equal to zero, it is also a function of these generators. And by this reasoning, it implies that when you have two representations which act in the same way on generators, then they would have to be the same. So this set of generators separate representations of our sister algebra. This is the way to prove this fact. There is one more condition to be checked in a definition of sister algebra generated by unbounded elements. There was one more condition to be checked, that some combination, maybe I will come back to examples. You have to prove that this fact also, that this is also true on a quantum level, that if you add hats everywhere, 1/1 plus alpha hat star alpha hat, so there is one more condition to be checked, that 1/1 plus alpha hat star alpha hat times 1/1 plus delta hat star delta hat. Then in principle, this is an element of multiplier sister algebra. But to check that these elements, those unbounded generators, multipliers generate sister algebra, you have to prove that this is not only element of multiplier sister algebra, but also element of a sister algebra. And it also was proven. So, well, in this way, we finish the description of Heisenberg-Lorentz quantum group. We satisfied all the wishes from the list of the wishes that I gave yesterday. Well, that we have sister algebra, generators, and relations. So it was, well, so maybe I will stop here. So tomorrow I will give the next example, which will be, maybe not so complicated from the technical point of view. So.